Have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We come unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, and God, make the power of your grace move in this house tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. What I've read to you tonight, the children of Israel are faced with a challenge. They spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness trying to get to this, or two years rather, trying to find this place that they were going to. They spent all this time wandering in the wilderness. Actually, everybody that left Egypt, except for two, are dead. I had an amazing book I read one time, and it's a great little old book. It was called "They All Drank from the Same Spiritual Rock Which Did Follow in the Wilderness." But they all died in the wilderness. Hello? They had all the blessings of God, but they just couldn't see what God was trying to do for them. They wandered around out there till God got Egypt out of Israel so Israel could become his people again. And all of a sudden, God tells them, "Now we're ready to cross the river." And they send the spies into the land, and some of them come back bringing fruit and said, "Hey, everything he promised is over there, but there's some stuff he didn't tell us about." They got walled cities over there, and they got the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites. They got the Canaanites, and all of them are fierce warriors. And just to show you something, they got the sons of Anak. Those are what that means. The sons of Anak average 13 feet in height. And they're going, "They got spears that can shish kebab six or seven of us at one time. There ain't no way we can handle these guys." And you know, they actually start telling the folks, "We need to stay right here." And this guy named Caleb walks up and steals the people before Moses and said, "Let us go over and possess the land that God has promised us, because we are well able to overcome anything that is in front of us." I want to tell you something, church. In the day in which we're living, I believe it is important in ourselves that we wake up the spirit of Caleb in this world today, that we get that spirit of Caleb awake in our lives. You see, I believe in every one of us there's a Caleb, somebody that really believes God's able, God can do it. I mean, you know, all of us believe way up here. The problem is our real truth or reality usually hits somewhere down here. And we keep talking about those folks that make it up there. Well, I got news for you. God's no respecter person. And if God will give it to Caleb, God will give it to us. God will move in us. Listen to what the word of God tells us in Numbers chapter 14. "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." We're living in perilous times. We need the spirit of Caleb. We're living in times when church folks are saying, "Let's just give up and forget about it. Things are so bad, we're not going to make it." I don't know if y'all remember, there used to be a cartoon that came on. They had one guy on there was like a lot of church folks. No matter what was going on, it'll never work. We're doomed. Glory. I mean, boy, he was just a bright star in the middle of all of everything. It couldn't matter what was going on. There was a cartoon that used to be out, and one of the little kid walked around, and every time you seen him, there was a cloud over him. Everybody else would be having a good time, and he'd be getting rained on and lightning coming around him. Amen. And we got church folks like that. It's gloom and doom. If you gave him $100, he'd gripe because it's green. Glory. Oh, they say, oh, no, they'll find out, and I have to pay taxes. Glory. Hello? Come on, church, smile. Listen, the Bible tells us we're living in time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also the last days perilous times shall come. God told us about it before it got here. Men should be lovers of their own selves. Are we not living in that day where it's all about what's for me? Come on, church. Y'all heard me say this, and I fully believe it. I believe we got too many people in the church that like them little wind-up dolls down at Walmart. About my favorite time of the year. I like to go to Walmart where they got all them little dolls out. Says, try me, because I do. I'll go through there and I'll have 100 of them talking and dancing and moving around. You know, you pull some of them out and they just sit there and they say the same thing. Then they'll say something else. Then they say, but it's usually not about 4 or 5 sayings. Well, that's the way some church folks are. Every time you pull that string on the neck, it's like, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? What's it going to do for me? I mean, you can talk about the Montana mission and they'll say, what's it going to do for me? Nothing. It ain't about you. Glory. Well, I got some folks looking at me like, well, if it ain't about me, why am I here? Try to get a hold to God because it's all about him. And until you change your focus, you're never going to get out of that situation you're in. Men should be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Am I not describing the day in which we're living? Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. You know what that means, to be incontinent? Out of control. We got folks shooting folks over road rage. I was watching something the other night, and this guy got mad. Some guy, he thought the guy cut him off. He run the guy off the road, jumped out of his car, and went back there, tried to get the guy, get out of the car. The guy went out of his car, so he went up to his car, and he got a pipe out of the trunk, started back to the car. He didn't know he had an off-duty police officer, and he come out the car. And suddenly that guy realized, I went to a gunfight with a pipe. Glory. Y'all have seen him. Soon he saw that gun, it was like, all the rage just kind of drained out of him. Lord, amen. But we're living in a world where we're out of control. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Y'all may not believe it, but we got folks that if they get the opportunity to do something besides go to church, they're going. It's all right every once in a while, but we got folks that'll miss 2 or 3 weeks in a row because, you know, they got to go over here because that's more important. Hello? Oh, it's going to get quiet, ain't it? Remember I told you this morning I got back, now I don't really care, club. Glory. Amen. It's time some of you realize if God's not first, he ain't going to be at all. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, walking around talking religion, talking spiritual stuff, but never reading the Bible, never praying, and so therefore the devil could care less about all your talk. Hello? What the devil don't want is you to realize the greatest secret of God's people. If we begin to read the Word of God and begin to call on the name of the Lord, there is nothing in this world that could stop this church from doing what God wants it to do, and that's what Caleb understood. He said, I know that in God we are well capable of taking anything they got to throw at us in church. We need to come to that place where we realize we are more than capable through the power of the God that is on our side to have victory like we've never had victory before, because it is not in me that I've got victory, but God hath given me the victory through everything in my life. Could you say amen? Matthew tells us this. He said, you shall hear of war and rumors of war, but the end is not yet. All these things must come to pass. It's not just war of a physical sense, but it's war of spiritual realm as well. The natural always mirrors the spiritual. When 9/11 happened, physically everybody came back to America. Everybody, oh yeah, we're singing about America, about talking about being politically correct again. We're getting back into it. Folks was putting a hand over the heart. I watched them doing the national anthem the other night, and I was appalled at the number of people standing there still talking, carrying on while the national anthem was being played. I wanted to go get a mic and say, "Hey, idiots!" And that includes your president, who won't put his hand over his heart and reverence our flag. And I don't care if you like it or not. I don't like what he does. If he don't want to be in America, go somewhere else. If you don't like our flag, go. We had some of them liberals said that Bush got elected and leave. They lied just like they usually do. They're still here. Glory. I know I could have went all night without saying that. But I noticed something. Truths parallel. What happens in the physical. Well, I didn't mean to make y'all mad. Hallelujah. Two more goes, I'll preach harder. Glory. But I noticed something. Truths parallel. Whatever happens in the physical is normally happening in the spiritual. Just as there is a battle going on in the physical world today, there is wars going on in the spiritual side that we cannot handle. We cannot fight spiritual battles within ourselves, but in Him we can be an overcomer and we can conquer through the power of God. There is a time when we must call on the spirit of Caleb and say, "Arise, God, in me a fresh presence and a power of your glory." Come on, church. Amen. The Bible said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what good's that going to do? Standards ain't weapons of war." No, but I can guarantee if the right standard got stuck up in the old days and then people seen it, there wasn't going to be no war. Hello? Why? Because they understood that army's bad. We're getting out of here. And when God puts that standard up, says, "Lion of the tribe of Judah," the demons go, "Uh-oh. We through." No more fighting, because it ain't fight fair. He makes people go blind. Come on, church. Glory. See, I am a full believer that if you get far enough in God, get enough of the Spirit of God, the Word in you, demons will go fight somebody else. You imagine Satan down there, "Hey, go over to Stroop's house." Uh-uh. Last time I was over there, they was casting me out and it hurt. Glory. You go if you want to fight him. Glory. Come on, church. I know somebody said, "That's preacher, you're crazy." I want it to be so bad they got pictures of me all over hell, armed and dangerous, approached with caution. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Why? I want them to understand that I'm going to stay where I need to be so that I can lift up the spirit of Caleb and say, "Hey, I don't care what you throw at me. I am capable through the power of God, not in myself, but through Him and through His power. I am more than a conqueror through Him who hath loved me." Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Listen, Joel chapter 3, verse 9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentile, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Glory. See, there are two qualities of character and spiritual fiber that God refers to them as mighty when people have these qualities. Amen. Here's the problem with the church. The church is asleep. Sleep means I'm in a state of attentive and I'm not alert. It's kind of like I'm numb. When somebody's asleep, the condition of the body and mind in which the nervous system's inactive, the eyes are closed, the posterior muscles relax, and the consciousness practically suspended in animation. That's why you dream. Hello? When you're dreaming, your subconscious is just opening up about stuff you've been thinking about and didn't realize it. That's why when you watch your goofy, stupid movies, you have bad dreams, because it gets in your head and all of a sudden you dream a vampire biting you when there ain't no such thing as vampires. You go out and buy some of these dumb books. You know they're making a killing selling bullets to kill zombies? How do you kill somebody that's already dead? And you know what they are? What we call hollow points when I was a kid that you could buy 500 in a case for 10 bucks. Glory. And I got news for you. If a regular bullet won't kill them, M bullets ain't going to do it either. smile. Y'all think I'm crazy. Some of y'all need to look this up. There's people all over the country getting ready for zombie wars. Glory. I got some looking like, aren't they coming? Maybe spider wars before it's over with. Glory. That's a private joke. Glory. You may be a potential Superman. You may be able to pray heaven down, knock the gates of hell, slap off its hinges, but if you sound asleep, you ain't no, you're not a problem for any demon moving around. Why? Because in a state of sleep, nothing's going to help you. Come on, church. Lord, listen, Samson was a great, awesome man. Took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines, tore the gates off the city. But when he was asleep, he had a problem. He slept so bad that they actually was able to peel his hair, and he never woke up. That's a deep sleep. Hello? And next thing you know, he jumps up, and I said, the spirit, the enemy's upon you. And he said the spirit was on him, and he didn't even realize he had lost his anointing. You know, I'm afraid that's happening to people in the church. We've let Satan lull us into a sleep to the point we've forgotten what it takes to stay anointed. And we don't even know the Spirit of God has departed from us. Because every once in a while, we get a little jig. Come on, church. I've had people actually tell me they was praying for their dance to come back. I said, you don't need a dance. You need an anointing. The dance ain't your power. Come on, church. Not yet. I'm going to have to stay here a while. I'm Pentecostal, got no problem with it, but all your dancing ain't going to give you no power. Your dance is your reaction to the Spirit touching you. And we got people like, oh, if I just get my dance back. No, if you just get anointed. That's what's going to change things. Come on, church. Whew, that's good preaching. That hit a snag. I'm going to have to work on that one. That's going to be a sermon for long. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? The tragedy of the hour we live in is not that we are no mighty men or women of God, but they've all gone to sleep. They've drifted into a kind of stupor where they're in a daze. They're looking at the world as if it's through rose-colored glasses. And though everything's falling apart, they think, everything's okay. It's going to be all right. We don't have to worry. Honey, you better read your Bible. It's going to get so bad, some of y'all are going to start saying, even so, come more quickly. Samson was really trying to make things happen. The cry of the Spirit is what we need for the mighty men. And I believe the Spirit is pushing on us to say, awake in this last day. Hallelujah. Wake up the spirit of Caleb. Wake up the spirit of Joshua. Wake up the spirit of Gideon. Wake up the spirit of Daniel. Amen. So what are you talking about? These were men who moved in a realm of the spirit that most of us just dream about getting in. I mean, let's face it. In Caleb, there were giants in the land. And Gideon, there was an invader in the land. And Daniel, there was pressure to conform and to fit in. Amen. In Joshua, he was trying to tear down walled cities nobody had ever done before. But because of the spirit of God that was in them, they said, we are more than able to do that God has called us to do. And some of us need to wake up, shake ourselves, get the Spirit alive in us again and say, now I know beyond a shadow of doubt, my God is still able. Hallelujah. Numbers 13 and 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are more than capable. First of all, Caleb was a fighter. He'd stand up and wage war against the prevailing spirits of unbelieving fear. The word Caleb means forcible, an attacker. The spirit of Caleb, the spirit of advancement. It's the spirit that was strong in Caleb that showed us, that even showed up in his daughter. So we're talking about Joshua chapter 15, verse 18. Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? And listen to the 19th verse when she answered, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Amen. Caleb was awake, alert, prepared. But now notice, Caleb was a son of Jephunneh. That word simply means he will be prepared, ever ready. Caleb was an encourager. He encouraged not only himself, but those that was around him. Notice when the people were upset, he was able to steal them because he was an encourager. Glory. Caleb had faith, was motivated not by fear, but motivated by the faith that he had in God. Caleb was bold. Proverbs 28:1. For the wicked flee with no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Notice what it said. Those that's not living right, they'll flee even when ain't nobody pursuing them. Hello? You ever seen people that run at their own shadow? Don't look at me. I've never understood people like that. I mean, you know, I've always been dumb enough, I'd stand up when they're bigger than me. Wasn't the smartest thing to do. Hello? But I learned after a while, folks would get the word, that guy'll fight, and you didn't have to fight as much as them other guys. Because somebody knew I'd mess them up, or at least try. One guy told somebody one time, said, it's not so much what he'll do in the fight, it's what he does afterwards when he catches you not looking. I didn't read Marcus of Queensberry rules when I was in high school. My dad's rule was, if you got to fight, don't lose. That was the only rule of thumb I had to run on. Come on, church. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm not getting in a fight unless I plan on winning. Come on, church. Smile. Some of our young guys were playing for the state, that's played and won the state championship last year in the Little League. We carried them to youth camp. I thought I was going to give them the thrill of their life. There was a gentleman at the camp that day who was very well known in the world. He had stopped by to visit someone he knew, and I was introduced to him, and I said, hey, I got some guys up here I want you to go meet. And he walked up there with me, and I introduced some of the young men from this church to this guy. And he found out they were going to play in Florida at some big tournament. And he said, guys, I got one thing for you to understand. Everybody on every team is going down there to win. And unless you lay it all on the field, you don't even have a chance. He said, because no matter how good you are, a guy that tries harder with less talent will beat you. I never forget, I told him who he was after he walked off. And they were like, who's he? Any of y'all ever heard of a guy named Deion Sanders? That is who I introduced them boys to, and they didn't have a clue. The other night I was talking to one of them. I said, you seen that commercial on TV with the two guys throwing the football in a white jersey? Yes, that black dude is the dude I introduced you to. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame. Come on, smile at me. I said, well, that's not important. Yeah, but he also got saved. That's what's important. Hello? Amen. But now, church, notice something. Caleb means he's a spirit of perseverance. For 40 years, he held his promise that God was going to give him. He was not moved by peer pressure. Amen. But Caleb also came from the tribe of Judah. That is praise or celebration. Caleb means forceful. His father's name was Japheth, which means prepared. He come from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. And out of the tribe of Judah come a man named Jesus. The point, the spirit of Caleb is that ever prepared, forceful praise. And in the middle of our praise, Christ will come forth to fight our battles. Hallelujah. Psalms 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him, he hath followed me fully. And I will bring unto him the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We've got to understand that God is trying to turn us over and turn us loose. And if we'll let him, God will set us aside. Could you say amen? Listen to this conversation. I'm not going to be much longer. Joshua and Caleb's having a conversation. Joshua has stopped war. He don't want to fight no more. And Joshua makes the statement, I'm 85 years old. And listen to the answer. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me, Joshua chapter 14, kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest it in that day, how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and the fenced. And it would be so, the Lord would be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You say, what are you talking about? Joshua said, I'm 85 years old. Caleb said, I'm the same age as you, but I'm as strong now as I was then. And I'm not going to stop till I got what God's promised me. I don't know, church, but when I started out in this for 30-something years ago, I didn't start to quit. Come on, church. I didn't start to say, oh, I'm getting too old, I'm going to give up. I started out to make sure that every day I got a little closer, every day I got a little faster, every day I got a little more power in my life, and I'm not backing up now. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. In the early 70s, the big thing in churches was bus ministry. Brother Hall talked to me about bus ministry. He said, I got a lady I want you to go spend some time with. He sends me to Mississippi, to Jackson. I show up on a Saturday morning. It's 7 o'clock. I'm waiting on this lady to show up, and this blue-haired woman come walking in there. Looked me eyeball to eyeball. She said, young fella, you ready to go get busy? That means a different thing nowadays. Hello? Don't look at me like that. We got our terminology switched. I spent the rest of the day trying to keep up with that woman. I found out she is 85 years old. She run 4 or 5 buses out of that church. She brought 150-something people to church every Sunday. I looked at her and said, lady, why are you doing this? She said, well, I got saved at a late age. I got to make up time. Glory. That woman liked to kill me, and I wasn't but 20-something years old. I chased her around that town. I knocked doors. I beat on things, tried to get people to come to church. She'd walk up, knock on the door, say, hey, them folks going to ride the bus tomorrow. Glory. She so inspired me, I came back, started my own bus route. 6 weeks in, I had 6 people on the bus. 2 of them was kids. Their parents were sending them so they wouldn't have to take care of them on Sunday morning. 3 of them I had to go in and help get dressed. They were little girls. I'd go in and help them get dressed, help them fix their hair, and the bus driver would go down the road, pick up some more kids if there was any waiting, and he'd come back by and he'd get them girls, put them on that bus, and we'd go to church. I walked in one day to Brother Hall, and I pitched them keys over on that desk, and I said, I'm through. He said, what are you talking about? I said, this ain't my cup of tea. You have to find somebody else to do this bus ministry stuff. I'm going to go out and preach revivals. He said, yeah, you won't ever make it as evangelist either. I said, why is that? He said, you quit too quick. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I don't know what your problem is. Took Noah 120 years to get 8 people on the ark. You already got 6. Ain't been for 6 weeks. You're doing great. Glory. Throwed them keys back at me, and he said, now I'll tell you when you're going to quit. 4 buses and 145 people later, we were still doing bus ministry. Hello? Then 3 little girls got their mom and dad saved. A few years ago at prayer conference, we were ordaining some ministers, and I was up praying with them, and they was giving their ordination papers to them. And I knew several of them. Matter of fact, I did a couple of them's weddings, so when their wives and the husband both hugged my neck, I didn't think a lot about it. But I came to this one couple, and I really didn't recognize the girl, and she hugged me up like I was her long-lost friend. And she's hanging on me, and everybody's looking, and I'm like, she said, I know you don't remember me, but you used to stop and help me and my sisters get dressed so we could go to church. And you won my stepdad, my mom, to the Lord. And I'm pastoring a church with my husband. And it all started when you knocked on our door and invited us to church. And I want to tell you something, church. That is what it's all about. It's getting the power of God to say, I can do this. It doesn't matter what's going on. I am more than capable through him to overcome everything that comes my way if I can but wake up the spirit of Caleb in my life. Could you say amen? Psalms 150:6 said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I know there's still mighty men of valor in the church. I know there are people that are ready to wake up. But I'm going to close with a very stirring verse of scripture. Knowing the time, in Romans chapter 13, 11, knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Paul told the church at Rome, it's time to stir yourself and wake up. It's time to get out of your sleep and get to work. Because the time's drawing near when the trump of God's going to sound. Stand with me all over the house. I think the greatest need in the church world is to wake up the spirit of Caleb. Realize it ain't over till it's over. Hello? Yes. And as long as God's on the throne, the battle can turn at any moment. It takes one person believing. Doesn't matter what you're doing, they don't even have to believe in God. 1964, the New York Mets were the laughing stock of the National Baseball Association. They lost 108 or 9 ball games. They were the goofiest looking bunch of people you ever seen in your life. 1967, basically the same roster. They split the games. Because they had a little shortstop over there, started talking about, hey, we can beat these guys. Y'all good enough players, we can make it happen. He got talking to Tom Seaver and Kuzman and telling them what great pitchers they were, and they started thinking they were pitchers. One different man in 1968 from the 1964 laughing stock team was that shortstop that convinced everybody on that team before it was over with, we can do it. Do you know what happened in 1968? The New York Mets won the World Series. Didn't change but one person on the roster, and that was a shortstop. He batted 250 but convinced everybody else they were war beaters. Those two pitchers he's helped convince it. They won 20-something ball games apiece because suddenly they got thinking they could pitch so bad they didn't worry about that other team. And you know what? If we can ever get the spirit of Caleb alive in the church, some of us will quit worried about the obstacle on the other side and realize if I'm all I can be for God, that's all he's ever asked me to be. If I could just do all I can. He said, once you've done that, then stand still and see the salvation of God. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, minister to us tonight. Make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory for that we receive from you. Master, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Man, hallelujah.